Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening, and open up to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians, chapter number 4, in the Word of God tonight. And as you find your place here in Philippians, chapter number 4, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight. Philippians, chapter number 4, in the Word of God tonight. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we've been in a series now over this past summer entitled Family Matters, the Family Matters series. And so thankful for just the encouragement. I am so just praise the Lord for many of us have gotten together and had discussions on marriage, discussions on raising kids, discussions about grandkids and even great-grandkids. And I trust that this has been a help and a blessing to you. So as we come to the end of this series tonight, we've been talking about so often fighting for the next generation. We've been talking about fighting for our marriage. So we've been talking about over the last several weeks, standing up for what is right. But tonight we're going to end this series by going to the Lord for help, going to Christ. And we need to be fighting for this next generation from our knees. You and I need to be fighting for this next generation in a manner tonight that we're going to see that I truly believe is going to help propel them, if the Lord tarries, to be able to fight the wickedness that we've been talking about over the last several weeks. Philippians chapter 4, a verse that we're very familiar with. Would you look with me at verse number 6? Verse number 6 of Philippians 4 says this: "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This evening, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "Praying for Generation Next." Praying for Generation Next. What I love about the book of Philippians, I know you remain standing, but we'll have a word of prayer here in just a moment, but what I love about the book of Philippians, it's really an encouraging book. It's a book on joy. It's a book that really is establishing the hearts of these believers that are being commended in a great way for following their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I love the oftentimes in these passages of Scripture that it gives these encouraging words. The encouraging words would go something like this: "Be careful for nothing, but in everything," listen very carefully, "by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests may be known unto God." There is a request that ought to be made known for the generations that are coming up behind us. As we tune in for the next couple of moments to this passage of Scripture, I know that we've been dealing with a family, and there are some in here that maybe you're a teenager and it's not a big deal. You don't have a family yet. You're not raising kids. There's single adults in here, maybe in their 20s or 30s. You say, "Well, I'm not married yet, so it's not a big deal for me." Or there's some great grandparents in here or grandparents in here that say, "Well, we've raised our kids. We've done our duty. We've moved on. This is not a big deal for me." And or, now watch, there might be some young kids in here tonight. As I look all around, Nora and Rose sitting right up front here, and young kids all around this auditorium, that maybe you say, "Oh, this message is not necessarily for me because, you know, I'm just, well, who am I? I'm just going through, you know, middle school. I'm going through high school." No, when the Word of God is open, if you and I have an open heart, this message is for all of us this evening. We have to be ready. We've got to tune in. And no matter what your age is tonight, no matter what life stage you are in, if you and I comprehend that we want something from God, God will give us something this evening. Praying for Generation Next. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we need you tonight. I ask, Savior, that you'd move, that you'd guide, and you'd direct. Father, I've got a lot of territory to cover tonight, and I need your help to do so. And I ask, Father, tonight that in a special way, as we close out this series, that we would comprehend that this message is for all of us. It's not for a couple, it's not just for the young kids, and it's not just for those maybe in my life stage that seem to be raising young kids. But Father, if we have an open heart and an open mind, you'll give us what we need. And so Father, move this evening as only you know how. Father, as we talk about prayer tonight, I ask, Savior, that it'd be something that is not religious, but Father, communicative towards you. Lord, you are the creator of the universe. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yet, that old song by Ron Hamilton, "And yet, you are our very best friend." Father, we need you tonight. We love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Every parent, I believe, and even grandparents in here, desire to see their children walk in truth. It is a desire that we ought to have in our life, that we want to see our kids and our grandkids, and if you don't have those, then the next generation coming up, live such a life that they live this life that has a heart for the things of God, a heart for the things of our Savior, a heart that loves all things that Jesus Christ loves. It is impossible for a child sitting here tonight to comprehend or understand how deeply their parents desire to see them succeed in every area of life, including spiritual development. It's impossible for a child, now listen, even teenager or college student here, I really believe it's almost impossible for you to see how much the generation that is before you is reaching back and praying for your generation to do something great for God. As we've come through this family life series, sometimes as parents, it feels almost overwhelming to recognize how many aspects there are to raising kids. As we saw 2 weeks ago, the devices that Satan is using in the entertainment industry, and from Prime to Hulu to Netflix to Disney Plus to even the YouTube, understand that everything that Satan has in his arsenal is aimed at the next generation that's coming up. I did not say during that series just to get rid of all entertainment, but that we ought to be tuned in to the entertainment that our kids are using today. And every teenager, listen, I want our teenagers to tune in for a moment. And I want you to comprehend, teenager, that we are for you and that we love you. Somebody help me out with an amen tonight. We want you to succeed. We want you to do great things for God, but as we begin to look at everything that Satan has in his arsenal, it almost becomes overwhelming to us as parents and as grandparents and great-grandparents. How can we control it all? How can we be involved in your life? How can we keep Satan out of our homes and yet still develop a heart that is in tune with God, not just because we say so, because we want you to come to this realization that you want to be in tune with God. There's so many areas of parents for you and I to invest ourselves in this next generation. And there's resources available for us to learn how to be godly parents. And we're tuned into those, whether it be podcasts or books, or for some of you, maybe you're even into DVDs still. And there's ways that we learn, and there's ways that we're tuned in. But there is one resource. Now watch. There is one resource that is more powerful than any book or seminar or method, and that is prayer. You see, prayer is the one area of parenting that we cannot afford to get wrong. You may fail as a parent, and I may fail as a parent in many areas, but we cannot. We must not fail in this area. You and I will never be a perfect parent. We will never be a perfect grandparent, but you and I can be a praying parent. You and I can be a praying grandparent. And for the next couple of moments, in somewhat of a seminar fashion, it's going to be a little bit topical this evening, but you bear with me. As we run through and close out this series, I want to give us as a church tonight a conglomerate of areas that you and I can be praying for the next generation. Now listen very carefully and watch. We have to do this in a manner that we don't take up too much time. If I told you how many points I had this evening, you literally would probably have a heart attack, but don't do that tonight, okay? Just tune in, buckle your seatbelt, but you gotta help me out. So now watch. If you do this slow, it's not going to work. If you are in a life stage where you are raising, even if you have some kids that have already gone off to college, but if you have kids that are living in the home, even if they're college students, if you're a parent that have kids in the home, would you stand with me just very quickly? Not if your kids are raised to God, fine, just stay seated. But if you have a kid that is in the home, would you stand up right now? Okay, so stand up. Great, great, good. Everybody's participating. This is fantastic. Good, so let me look around. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. How many in here tonight, not necessarily are grandparents, but you have kids that are grown and they are out of the house? Would you stand, please, this evening? You have kids that you have raised and they are out of the home. Would you please stand really quickly? Wow, okay. So maybe a little bit more in this category. Some of you are standing and sitting down. Like, what in the world's going on here? Can you not figure out where you're at? You need a lot of prayer this evening. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so these have raised kids and they have some, maybe they're in the home, but some that have already gone. Good. Amen. You may sit down. Now, I want all those who are let's just put it this way, those of you who are 23 years of age and younger. So we have little kids. If you're 23, you're like, I'm going to stand with the kids. Just be quiet for a minute and tune in. From little kids up to 23, yes, they're more mature, but I want you to stand, if you would, with me. Go ahead. Just real quick, go ahead. From 0 to 23, go ahead and stand. Wow, good. Amen. I want all the adults, remain standing, kids, and adults. I want all of our parents and grandparents to look around for just a minute. Go ahead, turn around. Go ahead. It's going to take some of you a little while. You can do it. Good. Is your back cracking yet? Okay, good. Good. Now, I want you to look around at how many young kids we have here. Now, kids, remain standing, and adults, college students, comprehend that when we talk about praying for generation next, here is who we're talking about. This is the next generation. These are the ones that are coming up. Miguel, how old are you? I'm sorry, how old are you? You're 12 years old, okay? Sakai, how old are you? 13. You're 13. Sakai, Cole, how old are you? You're 16. Ben, how old are you? I'm sorry? 15. 15. Gavin, how old are you? 16. Remember Celeste? Is that what I used to, I can't remember what I used to call you. It was like the weirdest name in the world. We pray for you extra hard. How old are you? 14. Okay, so you can understand all the way around the room, we've got from little kids, twins, how old are you? 6. Good. Poppy, how old are you? 5. Okay, so we got young kids all the way up. This generation we may look at, and we got girls sitting right up front here, which I think is totally awesome and amazing. Tommy's sitting right up front here. Well, you said amen for the girls. You didn't say amen for Tommy. Come on. You got to be kidding me. Well, he's the preacher's kid. Okay, but nonetheless, I love that we got kids sitting right up front. I know we got kids spread all out. We got them sitting with families and whatnot. But we may look at them and we think, well, you know, they're just kids. I mean, look at Miguel. You said you were 12 years old. Is that correct? You're actually 11. Miguel. Dude, give me 5, man. I'm telling you. I'm 38 and I still tell people I'm 32 because I look like, you know what I mean? That's okay. So, Miguel, you're 11 years old. Let me just put it, Miguel, come up here real quick. I love Miguel's honesty. Don't you love that in a kid? I said, but I feel bad. I mean, that's just, it's amazing. So, Miguel is 11. You're like super tall for an 11-year-old. My land, it's going to be a tall. So understand that when we talk about the next generation, now kids, look, teenagers, tune in. We're talking about this generation that we may look at and think, I mean, come on, what are they going to do? But I'm telling you, talk to this generation. You're going to see this generation, I can assure you, if they get on fire for God, we'll do things that you and I could never even in our wildest imagination think they could do for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that tonight, say amen. We ought to believe that. Braden, are you 16? Is today your birthday? It's your birthday? Do you want us to sing happy birthday? Okay, I didn't think so. Braden's generation, Braden turned 16 years old today. Miguel and Braden, this generation, friend, I'm just telling you, let them get on fire for God and watch out. But it is going to take you and I praying for this generation. It's going to take you and I not getting frustrated and, oh, they're running around and, oh, they're up on the stage. I've already talked to my kids are up here and I'm constantly, get down, get off the piano. Look, I know we get on to them, but if you bear with me for the next couple of moments, if we can invest what we're going to talk about into this generation, friend, no matter what we've talked about over the last 9 weeks, no matter what Satan throws their way, this generation is going to charge the gates of hell with a Bible held high for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to take our generation getting on our knees and praying for them. Who's with me tonight? Amen. It's going to take us, thank you so much, Miguel. Kids, you may be seated. It is going to take us praying. What are we going to pray for tonight? All of us, no matter what life stage you're in, number one, I would like for you to write this down. Number one, let's pray that they would be saved. Let's pray, number one, for their salvation. Don't forget, I know we've got cute little sweet kids around here, but they are born with a sin nature. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, you and I may count it out. Well, they're young. Well, it's no big deal. But I'm here to tell you, it all started. The first person I baptized this church was just a little girl. But I love it when we see young kids giving and surrendering their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to pray that this next generation at a very young age receives Jesus Christ. Scripture makes it clear that Timothy's mother and his grandmother had a definite influence on his faith. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul also said it this way, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. You and I ought to pray for their salvation. Pray that at a very young age we are able to reach out. And I'm taking one moment and then we're going to move on. I just want to commend every Sunday school teacher in here, every teacher on Wednesday night. I know Wednesday nights are so tough, and man, I'd love to change that time back a little bit, because many of you have taught here at Cross Point, or you've come in from work and then you run at 7 o'clock right up, and by that time all the kids have hit their second wind and they're going crazy and you can't get them to be seen. Look, I just be honest with you. Thank you so much for your dedication. Thank you so much for your time. I just want to put it this way. Thank you so much for the investment that you are making in the next generation. They may not always learn their memory verses, and they may not always be the best kids, and they might not come in with everything filled out in their book. Look, don't get frustrated. Just comprehend that you are planting seeds in that next generation. And all five, I praise the Lord, all five of my kids are saved. They were saved at a young age. But Carrie, you'd have to agree with me tonight. It was not all us. It was because at a young age, from the nursery all the way up to when they got saved, it was teachers that were investing in their life. And I can personally think back of my first junior church workers, teachers. I think of Dale Strickland. I think of True Marshall. To this day, I'm still in touch with those men. I can think of Nyla Johnson in Decatur, Alabama, that had a massive influence on my life as my first grade teacher in Sunday school and second grade teacher in Sunday school, and how she invested in me. Sharon Brown, I think of her still to this day in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and how she invested in my life. Listen, if we're going to pray for the next generation, let's pray that at an early age they get saved. But I want you to think about this. Secondly, it's a prayer of dedication. Number two, dedication. While dedicating our children publicly as infants is wonderful and it's great and it's a great Sunday, we need to dedicate them daily in our prayer closet as well. Like Hannah, we need to give our children to the Lord, not just as babies, not just as an infant, but also all the days of their life. It was said about Hannah, and she vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give me unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord. Listen to the word here. All the days of his life. You and I must remember that our children, They are on loan to us from God. The Bible says in Psalm 127 and verse number 3, lo, children are an inheritance, are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Our natural tendency, listen, tune in, I'm going to move quick, but our natural tendency as parents is to be possessive of our children, wanting control of their life and their future, to see them become successful in the ways that we define success. I want, as I did several weeks ago, I just want to remind us tonight that we are not raising kids to be successful in our eyes, but we must raise them to be successful in God's eyes. We must raise them, listen, not cowering around and, oh, we want our kids here, we want them close, and that's okay. We can be selfish and we love our kids, but ultimately, we are dedicating our kids to the Lord Jesus Christ. I fully comprehend. Now, listen, don't you take this out of context and you'll email me later. I don't want to hear it, but watch. I know not every kid is called to the mission field, and I fully comprehend that not every kid is called to preach from behind the pulpit. But I will say this. In 2021, there are more people on this planet than has ever been in the history of humankind. There has never been more people on this earth, and yet we are absolutely in a dire situation with more missionaries coming off of the field than we have going on. We have more pulpits empty today than we've ever had in the history of the United States. We are in an all-time, I'm telling you, every single week we are calling. Is this not true, Mr. Carlson? We are calling for teachers, and we're calling for youth workers, and we're calling. When we worked at West Coast, it was every single day. Do you have a pastor? We got a pulpit empty. Do you have a pastor? We got a pulpit empty. Do we have a pastor? We got a pulpit empty. Friend, we have got to get back to dedicating our kids to the Lord. Maybe they might not make as much money as we want them to. Maybe it's going to take them far from where you and I are. Maybe it might take them to a foreign mission field. Is that scary? Yes. Carrie, will we have to deal with that one day? Absolutely. But friend, I'm here to tell you, would to God we'd have some young people that would hazard their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would to God we'd have some young people that would say, you know what? Fooey on what my plans are and my dreams and my aspirations. Maybe it's time we got back to some young kids saying, Lord, what do you want for my life? God, what plans do you have for me? What's the dreams that you want to dream for me? And young kids, you hear me and you hear me well. When you give your dreams and aspirations to God, you watch out. There is no happiness like that. It's salvation. It's dedication. But would you write this down? Number three, let's pray for their future spouse. Their future spouse. You see, you think about Abraham. Abraham cared deeply for his son Isaac, that he would marry the right spouse, someone that wouldn't turn his heart away from the Lord. So he went and sent a servant to a distant land to find her. I don't have time to develop this story, but Genesis 24 and verse number 12 and verse number 15, God gives this man, Abraham, his answer to prayer. See, friend, we look at something like this, like, oh, come on, you gotta be kidding me, pray for their future spouse? How many times, for the adults in this room, have we seen a young adult on fire for God marry the wrong person and it destroyed their life? Sorry, friend. I'm not willing for the kids of Cross Point Baptist Church to become another statistic. I want to see them grow up and have a heart for God and be on fire for Him. But I'm here to tell you, I want to start right now praying that our kids find the right spouse. A spouse that loves God and a spouse that wants to be in church. And man, for my daughters, I am very specific in our prayer life. I want my daughters to find a man that is a leader in the home and a spiritual leader. And I want my daughters to marry a man that, yes, is going to take care of them, but more than that, take care of them spiritually and be in the Word of God with them. And man, for my son, Tommy, I want him to marry a girl that if it's God's will for him to preach one day as he's starting to feel that call that he would marry a wife like I married Carrie, and a woman that's going to follow me around the globe, and a wife that's going to support my ministry, and a wife that loves me unconditionally, and a wife that's going to be there. Friend, it's never too early to start praying for the kids at Cross Point Baptist Church that they would find a spouse that is just on fire for God as they are. Does this make sense? I say amen. Now, I'm a little bit fast, but hopefully my lungs hold out here. You pray for me, but watch this. I want you to write this down. Number four, pray for godly friends. Let's pray for godly friends. Every parent wants their child to have friends. Friends that are the right type of friends. We ought to pray that our kids have friends who are loyal to Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You see, we ought to pray for truthful friends who will look out for the best interest of our kids, even if it means being willing to confront him or her when they are wrong. Proverbs 27, verse number 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We ought to pray for friends who will sharpen their character and their spiritual growth. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. One of the strongest forces of influence is friendships in our kids' lives. So we ought to pray that our kids make and are. Now listen. Now not only do they make, but they are the right type of friends. Now what? Adults, just tune out for just a moment. All the kids, look up here for just a minute. And young adults, now tune in. You ought to have friends and influences in your life that uplift God. Look, I'm just going to put it so plain and so simple. A lot of our kids are back here, so you have to excuse me. Now, I want you to watch. I want you to tune in. If your friends at school are not influencing you and pushing you towards the things of God, I don't even know how else to put this. It's just not a real friend. Find another friend. Well, I want to be the right type of friend. Okay, then you be the right type of friend. But I'm telling you, if you get in the locker room or you get in the gym or you get on the soccer field and your friend's always making fun of the coach or making fun of the teacher or making fun of the pastor, you better not make fun of me. Okay, but nonetheless, if your friends are always making fun of those who are in leadership, I'm just here to tell you, that's not a good friend. Get away from that person. If you sit with a person in teen group and that person never sings and that person always makes fun of Pastor Blake and Miss Charlotte and the things of God, I'm just here to tell you, that is not a spiritual person. That person will bring you down. That person will hurt your testimony. And I just do this. Move and sit somewhere else. Just move and sit somewhere else. The people that we sit beside, the people that we hang around, they're influencing your life, young person. They have an influence on who you're going to be in the future. You ought to pick the right type of friends that is pushing you towards the things of God. And when somebody, listen now, and when somebody starts making fun of somebody else and they think it's funny and they're the class clown and they think, oh yeah, look at me, and oh, that person's this person's that. To be honest with you, it's called a bully. When you're hanging around that bully, you are just as guilty if you don't say something. Get away and say something to that person. There are kids in this room that if you're not careful, you will influence somebody right out of this church. Mark my words. Pastor, good night. I mean, being mean to our kids. No, I love our kids. And I think this evening they need to hear it. Somebody talking about somebody else, just tell them to stop. Somebody being mean to somebody else, just tell them to quit. Cut it out. And if they don't, then move. Well, then they'll make fun of me. Big deal. Be a Daniel and stand up for what is right. What to God we'd have some young kids, some teenagers. I know we got homeschoolers in here, and I know we got public school kids in here, but Brother Jim, we got a lot of Christian school kids in here. Just because you're homeschooling a Christian school doesn't mean that you're obsolete from what I'm talking about this evening. I'm talking about you, young person. Take a stand for what is right. Be the right type of friend. Be a godly influence. You are the next generation. We can only pray, and we can only get in your lives, but Brother Man Croner, we can't follow them around. want. We can't make sure everybody's doing. Come on, do what's right. Stand up. Here's the hymn book. Sing the hymns. Look. Be more mature than that. Well, what are you going to say? Grow up? Sometimes I think we just need to hear it. Grow up. We need to grow up. Grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, the parents of the grandparents, in the Bible they call them the hoary heads, the gray hair. I got a little bit here. I'm getting there. That they love you. The pastor, the foes of this world, they're not against you. They're for you. They love you. The Leroy Burkins of this world, Miss Lindbergh, they're not against you. They're for you. They're pulling you in the right direction. They're praying for you. But you have to determine not only to be around the right type of friends, but listen very carefully, young person, to be the right type of friend. Godly friends. But would you write this down? Also, we pray for a will that is surrendered. A will that is surrendered. How many grandparents in here? You know what I'm talking about. Or parents, maybe you're going through it right now. Have you ever had a child that was just a strong-willed child? Don't raise your hand, okay? But how many know what I'm talking about? Just kind of shake your head or, you know, give me a little smile. You know, a strong-willed child. We had a child, and my kids are in here. I try not to embarrass them, but, man, we had a kid. Did we not carry that? You remember going through this. It was just one of those stages where it's like, hey, all right, we're going to clean up, pick up the toys. And parents, have you ever been there where your kid won't pick up the toy? It's like one toy. Anybody with me? Surely it's not only my kid, okay? Your kids are demon-possessed too. And you won't pick up that one toy. You go through it. Pick up the toy. And it's a strong will comes out. Now, I remember the first time we went through, we were like calling friends and neighbors. I was about to dial 911. Like, what do we do with this kid? He will not discipline him, won't pick up. And then finally, you know, that strong will, you could see it. That's very frustrating for any parent if you've ever been through that. In fact, I remember one time with another kid, I said, let's pick up the toys. We had already been through the strong will kid, and they were picking up the toys. So I just pretend like I didn't see it. And I was like, I ain't going through all that again. Anybody else been there with me? And Carrie's like, get back in here. And I got to get back in there. And pick up. That strong will in a child is not, it's not always a bad thing when you get that strong will turned towards Jesus Christ. You get that kid's heart and that child's mind on the things of God. And boy, I'm telling you, they'll be used in just a great way. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. We ought to pray for our children to fear the Lord, that will have respect for God and an awareness that he knows and sees everything. We ought to pray that they will have that will, that strong will that will say, God, whatever you want me to do with my life, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. Have a parents and grandparents. Don't be scared when you're our kids start talking about, I think God's calling me here. I think God's wanting to do this with my life. At that moment, that shouldn't be, oh my goodness, what are we doing? We failed as a parent. No, at that moment, we begin to realize that strong will that they had in their life is now surrendered to the things of God. And we're pointing them towards the things of God. We're prodding them. We're helping them. We're directing them. We're encouraging them to have that surrendered will. But not only that, let's pray for character development. Their character development. Pray that they will have wisdom and direction in their character. My dad is 71 years old, and I appreciate many prayers for him and those he's been asking today. Dad's doing very well. I praise the Lord. And for 71, a diabetic for many, many years, he's doing great. But dad talks and often of a time. Dad was not raised in a Christian home. But dad, being raised up in the north, often talks about that even though he was not in a Christian community or school or church or even mom and dad, there was still a time that there was a generation that had character.
And they might not have been saved, but there was character in them. There was still a right and a wrong. There was still a conscience. There was still that integrity. When we begin to pray for a development of kids' character, there's some specific things that we want to pray for. First of all, is that integrity. We ought to pray that our child will always tell the truth, even if the consequences are going to be painful. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 18, pray for us that we trust to have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. We ought to pray for this next generation coming up. And listen, I just tune in for just a moment. I'm moving quickly because I know what time it is. But when we're praying for integrity, if there was ever something that this world needs, it's this. It needs integrity today. Young Christians and young adults who are going to live with their integrity, and that is always being honest, telling the truth. It's not twisting. It's not political. It's not that little white lie we often talk about, but it's that integrity. But we're also praying, watch very carefully, for that character development in respect. You see, pray that our child will respect the authorities in their life. The Bible says this, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Listen up, kids. Listen up, teenagers. I just even want to talk to the young adults in the room tonight. If you're living in underneath the roof of your mom or your dad or your step-parent, or your grandparents, that means this: you are under their authority. Does that make sense tonight? Say amen. Maybe I ought to bring it down for our kids for just a moment. So listen, teenagers, listen, watch. You ought to learn now in your character development how to respect and how to obey those who are in authority. Learn it now. It's going to be a lot easier for you. You see, the problem with the generation, I'm not picking on them, but even as a millennial, there's a generation that's coming up, and because there was no character development in the home with mom and dad or with a step-parent, because there was no development in character there, now it's not that they didn't respect authority just in the home, but now it has carried over. When I was a kid even, you always listen to the man or the woman in blue. They were called policemen. You just, they were an authority. Anybody with me tonight? We live in a generation, in a world where there's no respect for, it's sad, but even in adults' lives, there's no respect for our men and women in blue. They're there to protect us. Look, I don't like getting a ticket. My wife's gotten way more than me. I'm just going to put that out there. But I'm just kidding, babe. But I don't like getting a ticket. I don't like being pulled over. In fact, when I moved here, true story, I thought Brother McNeil was going to give me a ticket because I couldn't get plates here. And my California plates expired, but you had to have a house. And then you had to prove, you know, that you got utilities, blah, 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 and all this. So I'm going around with the BMV on the bike. Well, it's fine. I'm just going to have expired tags for a little while. And I did. I'm telling you, it is a little spooky driving around with expired tags, isn't it? Like, when you see a cop now, I'm just like, oh, just drive along. When you have expired tags, you're like pulling in neighborhoods you don't even know so they don't get behind you. You know what I'm saying? A little confession tonight. I'll get it right later. But nonetheless, there ought to be respect for authority. And young adults in here, kids, that starts in the home. It starts in the home by obeying. A teacher that's in the classroom, that they're there. I know they're not always in, even parents were not always in great moods, but you know what? We love you, and we're investing in you. I've told the story, I think even here, that I remember coming home from college, and man, I'm a man now, you know, I'm going to be engaged here soon, and you know, I'm a junior in college. I remember coming home, and Brother Jim, I'd let my hair grow out just a little bit. It was kind of curly, it was pretty cool, but nonetheless, I let my hair grow out, and Dad said, son, you're going to get a haircut. You need to get a haircut. I said, well, Dad, you know, it's kind of style. It's the early 2000s. I'm going to let it grow out a little bit. And he said, son, you're going to get a haircut. And I said, yeah, I think I'll get a haircut. I'm 21, 22 years old. Guess what? I'm living in his house. He has the authority. When character development comes in, we ought to pray and invest in that integrity, invest in that respect, but also, watch now, pray for that wisdom. pray that our children will develop both sound judgment for making biblical-based decision and discernment to do only what that which is pleasing to God. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere without offense in the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Listen very carefully. This does not start when they're 18 years old. It must be prayer, and training must go into while they are in the home and while they are young. Look, I preach on that. I don't have time to develop this. And we can't keep our kids in this box and then think we're going to send them off to college and, well, train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from. We did the best that we could. No, it's not doing the best that we can. It's character development. It's developing them in wisdom. It's giving them and letting them make decisions, whether it be with a cell phone or whether it be with a boyfriend or girlfriend, or whether it be with entertainment, or whether it be with choosing friends. Look, every one of us are going to have, and I preached this before, all of us are going to have standards. And parents, we have to make the best decisions that we can for our family, standards based on principles that's based on the Word of God. But comprehend this, the standards that they're going to have in their life ought not to start when they're 18, 19 years old. Friend, I have watched it over and over and over again. Those that keep their kid in a box and think, well, it's just going to be okay, and send them off to the world, I'm just telling you, they begin to feast on what the world has, and they've never been able to make a decision. They've never been allowed to fail. They've never been walked through biblical wisdom. We cannot set our kids up for failure. We must have character development in their life now. That character development. But also, let's pray for this. You ready for this? Let's pray for protection. Number 7, pray for protection. You see, we've seen over the last several weeks, Satan is definitely aiming his darts at our kids. We must pray for spiritual protection in their hearts. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Our kids are going to be faced with, now look, I'm very careful, you understand, every time I approach these subjects, but friend, I don't think we realize what this next generation is going to face. What they are going to face, what we went through, even at my age, pales in comparison to the sins that these young kids are going to face coming all the way up. The agendas that are after our kids, we've seen it, go back 2 weeks ago and listen to that message again. The agenda that is after our teenage boys and after our teenage girls and after our little 5 and 6 year olds, friend, it is overwhelming. You know what our kids need? They need an older generation tonight to hit their knees or to sit on this front pew and pray for protection. God protect our kids. I used Miguel just a moment ago. Miguel, run up here just real quick. This is our 11/12-year-old here at the church. And we have to comprehend tonight that Miguel knows Jesus Christ as a Savior. Is that correct?
Yes.
You're saved, Miguel. That Satan is going to do everything he can to destroy this young man's life. Would to God we'd have adults that may never have a conversation with Miguel. You may never talk to him. But wouldn't it be amazing to have 50, 60, 70, 100 adults hit their knees and mention his name out loud? We could look at Miguel and say, well, I mean, I don't know if he's going to amount to anything. He lies about his age when he first comes up here. And I don't know, you know, he's a Palencia. And he's, look. If we pray for this man, do you realize that this could be the next greatest missionary that ever lived? Do you know this could be the next hymn writer that outdoes anybody was in the 15, 16, 17, 1800s in our hymn book, this could be the next great hymn writer. Do you know this could be the next Charles Spurgeon? Well, I don't know. With that attitude, go ahead. But I'm here to tell you, I think we ought to hit our knees and pray for young men like this. Because the world wants to destroy him. They're after his mind. They're after his heart. They're after his purity. They're after everything that is good in this young man's life. And would to God, we as adults would not be so prideful saying, well, it's 7:04, how many more points you got, Pastor? No, that we take the time tonight and close out and say this, God, protect our kids. Men, are you with me tonight? Say amen. This is the next generation. Thank you, Miguel. Sorry to keep using you. It's praying for protection. I want you to write this down tonight, and I'm almost done. But it's also praying for God's glory. Number 8, praying for the glory of God. The ultimate prayer request for our kids is they live lives that would bring glory to God. It's the ultimate goal. Excuse me, friend. I said it's the ultimate goal. My life is what? And your life is what? Without the glory of God. It's all about Him. It's not you and I. It's not what we've done. It's not what we've built. It's not, no. The legacy that we ought to leave behind for this next generation, if God were to tarry another 100 years, Brother Ted, wouldn't it be amazing if they talked about our generation as that we were a praying generation and that we gave all the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine, Brother Jeff, if our generation, if there was ever anything that we could leave for the next generation that's coming up behind us, was that we were talked about getting on our knees and praying for protection, and that everything that God did from moving this church from Eagledale down here to the Indianapolis Avon area, to being debt free, to paying cash for a parking lot, to updating, to talking about putting more chairs in the overflow section, to 11 kids, I think, Brother Carlson, over the last several weeks being saved, and now 6 or 7 weeks of people being baptized. Wouldn't it be awesome if our generation was talked about, not look at me and look what we did, look what we accomplished, and boy, too bad you'll never experience that. No, would to God they would talk about our generation, that it wasn't me and I, and look what we did, and look at what we've accomplished. No, that our generation would be known as, look what God did, look at His mercy, look at His grace, look at His provision. Look what He's done. He did it in our generation. He can do it in your generation. Oh man, how awesome would it be if we just got down here tonight and just said, Lord, thank you for a church full of kids. Now, I'm not bragging, but I was telling you, there's a lot of churches in this area. There's no young kids in that church. Their nurseries are locked up and their storage rooms now. Thank God for the young kids at this church. That means this, God's not done with Cross Point Baptist Church. We've done great things, praise the Lord, in the past, Pastor Defoe. But I'm here to tell you, you didn't bring Pastor Shepherd in so that we can coast on till God gets here. No, I'm telling you, we are going to charge the gates of hell, and we are going to pray for this next generation, and we are going to join arm in arm. It doesn't matter from 90 to probably 5 years old in here tonight. Let's join arm in arm, praying that our families do something great for God in the Indianapolis area. Where's it going to start? I think it ought to start tonight, friend, with us hitting our knees. From the young girls up here tonight, all the way to Clay and Ben, and you guys all the way back here in the back row. Can I just say this, Brayden? You know what we need tonight? It's not just adults, but I'm just here to tell you, guys back here sitting, and Brayden and all you guys over here, and Will and your the Yider family, and Gavin and your family, and Miguel and your family, and Rosie and your family, and the twins over here, Miss Sarah, and the twins up here, Tommy, look. You know what we need? It's not just us. We need you. We need a teenage guy to step out tonight. And don't care what everybody else is doing on your row. And get down on your knees and just say, God, let me hold your sword high. Let me be the next generation. We need a young lady to slip out and not care what everybody else is thinking and not care what everybody else is looking at. We need a young lady tonight to slip out and to be the leader in your class that says, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what my friends are doing. I don't care if they make fun. We need a young lady to slip out tonight and say, for the glory of God, I'm going to hold his banner high till he comes back. No, kids, you know, Winnie, we need to see that too. Just as much as this young man needs to see a Pastor Defoe and a Denny and a Jim and a Brother Fisher and the men who I look up to, just as I need to see those men on their knees praying for me and my generation, let me tell you something, young kids, there's an older generation that's waiting for you, and you don't have to be 19 to take a stand. You can be whatever age you're at, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 18, 22. Take a stand tonight. Let's let God get in this place for a minute. Don't look at your watch. Who cares? Let's let God get in here. While the politicians are trying to fix it, they're making a mess of things. Why don't we start in here on our knees tonight? You can't make it to the platform with your family this evening. Come all the way back over here. If you say, hey, Pastor, I'm too old to even, I can't even kneel. Come up here and sit on a front pew. Just sit down on a front pew. Tonight, if you can't make it up to the front, maybe just get with your family right where you're at. Just kneel right where you're at. But you almost get this feeling like God's about ready to let this thing break loose at Cross Point Baptist Church. Like, I mean, we're Brother Ben, you just said it. Let's go. Let's do it. Y'all ready for this? Because it's about to get real. It's either let's get on the gospel train or we're just going to keep playing church. I don't want to play church. Amen. I want to see this next generation do something great for God. Amen.